Shalom Aleichem. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Sanhedrin Chav Dalet, Sanhedrin 24a, pagination of 47. We'll start in the wide lines, counting into the wide lines, six lines. At the end of the line, Amar Rav Oshia said, Maidich Siv, what does it mean when the Pasuk in Zechariah tells us, Vo'akach li, I took for myself shnei maklos, two sticks, two staffs or rods. La'echod karasi noam, one of them I called pleasantness. Or la'echod karasi chovlim, and the other one I called damage or critique. Says the Gemara, noam elu tamidei chachamim shebe'eretz Yisrael. Pleasant, that refers to the Torah scholars of Eretz Yisrael. Sheman imin ze lo ze bahalacha. They enhance one another with halacha, with their discussions. Chovlim, damaging, critique. Elu tamid chachamim shebevavel. This refers to the Babylonian scholars. Shemachablim ze lo ze bahalacha, that they damage one another in their style of learning. Now, Rav Volba, in the parenting book, Planting and Building, I believe it's called, points out that there is a pasuk that describes chosech shifto, a person who withholds the rod, is sone beno, hates the child. The rod is important. And he points out, this is not talking, as some people want to interpret it, the rod to hit. It's the rod of discipline, the rod of leadership. What we would call today the rod of parenting. Are you parenting? Parenting means that you and the child are not on equal footing. The parent has life's wisdom, and if they see something that's not correct, they're supposed to say so. If they see the child slacking off, they get a report card, they have a conversation with the child, as opposed to somebody else who might not have a conversation with the child and just let everything just, whatever happens, happens. There are two rods. One is that of pleasantness, rod meaning the staff of leadership. One is pleasantness, giving praise. And the other is chovlim, is critique, is expressing expectations in a manner of, you didn't conform, you didn't add up to what was supposed to happen. Neither is actual hitting, physical hitting. That's a whole different discussion in education, if there is an age where some sort of physical contact is called for. Different discussion. We have over here different methods of leadership, and likewise they translate into different relationships between peers. Scholars, is it a more aggressive type of interaction? I remember once interviewing in a yeshiva, and while I was waiting in the lobby, I had a conversation with somebody in the yeshiva, and everything that I would say, he would say, no, it's like this. Everything was a contrast. And I found it fascinating that it wasn't just, this is what you say, this is what I say. It's no, and then continue. And there are different styles. In parenting and teaching, we definitely want to see leadership, but there are two different types of leadership. There's leadership of inspiration, which is sometimes appropriate, and there's leadership of discipline, which is appropriate at other times. I recall when I first started teaching in community-based outreach, so I was teaching a Hebrew reading course for grown people, aged 30 to 60, pretty much. And I was in my 20s. And I was reluctant to correct the participants when they read. I would only correct if it was a blatant mistake. But if it was just a minor mispronunciation, I kind of let it go and figured with time they'll achieve greater proficiency. And one of the people in the class, older gentleman, exclaimed to me, "Rabbi, we came here to be corrected. You need to correct us." He had noticed that I let a certain mistake by because it wasn't so blatant. He says, "We're here for you to correct us. That's what we want." But even so, there are different styles of how harsh to be. Apparently, the Gemara is doing a contrast and telling us there were two staffs. One, sweetness, pleasantness. That's the way the Talmidei Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael interacted in their time. There was certainly peer review. They disagreed with each other, but they built on the thoughts of one another. And then there was the Talmidei Chachamim of Bavel that was more aggressive, more contentious. I believe I've mentioned on a different occasion Rav Schwab's discussion in Chumash Bereishis, Mayan Beis HaShoeva, of the difference between Yosef and his brothers in their interaction as opposed to what's ideal. That Yosef says, "Kinashani Elokim, I was able to forget the Amali, the contentious nature when he disagreed with his brothers and they with him. It was very contentious and it had this terrible fallout." We certainly are built on peer review, but it's supposed to be done in a more nurturing, constructive way. Indeed, at the end of Maseches Brachos, we find Cherev al Abadim, if people don't interact with each other, like swords, sharpening each other, Baalei Tereisin, people with armaments, with shields, that interact with one another. That's the way Talmidei Chachamim are, Shemenagchim Ze'ezeh. They lock horns with one another, but there's a difference in style. The Gemara tells us, for example, Baba Metzia Pei Hei, that a Talmud Chacham went from one region to the other, and he wanted to forget the style of Babylonia of that time in favor of the style of Eretz Yisrael that was more nurturing. So we have different styles. Vayomer, the Gemara continues quoting from a Pasuk, Eile b'nei ha-yitzara omdim u'shnayim zesim aleha. There's mention of an olive tree and its produce. Yitzhar, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Eilu Tamidu Chamesha Be'eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yitzchak says that the comparison of the olive is to the Torah scholars of Eretz Yisrael. Shenochim Zeloze Bahalocha Keshem and Zayas. They assist one another with halachas like olive oil. Ushnayim Zeisim Allah Elu Tamidu Chamesha Be'Bavel. But the olive is also a parable for the scholars of Babylonia of their time, Shemirurim Zeloze Bahalocha Kezayas, that they're bitter one to the other like an olive. So the olive is actually used to illustrate both styles of learning and clearly favoring the one of Eretz Yisrael, the more pleasant and enhancing. We find these concepts in many areas. We find the style of Beis Hillel, for example, to relate the Shita of Beis Shammai as part of Torah, and then to disagree. He certainly disagrees. If he disagrees, he lets you know. But there was a certain ne'imus, as the pasuk is describing, a pleasantness to the discussion. It's worth mentioning that this difference between the Tamil Chacham of Eretz Yisrael and that of Bavel would presumably have been in the earlier times before they actually codified the Talmud Bavli and decided, as it's recorded in Talmud Bavli, that the Eretz Yisrael way is better. We have a Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yud that Rabbi Yechanan talking describes the Shas of Bavli and the Shas of the Yerushalmi, even in Rabbi Yechanan's time, which means that the Talmud Yerushalmi was not yet codified. So we're before the year 350, we're describing two styles of learning, but the Talmud Bavli that we have would have been from the following generation, and that doesn't mean it's a critique on our Gemara. On the contrary, our Gemara is considered the synopsis of the previous generations. It also explains that sometimes there's an expression in the Talmud that seems very harsh. Kemisha ein lo moach bekadkado. It sounds like you don't have brains. That is interpreted in different ways by the Mefarshim, but even on a simple level, it's recorded. It doesn't necessarily mean that we recommend such conversation. When two people walk into a wrestling match and one of them does damage to the other, the one who got damaged doesn't have a clear financial claim, because by going into the wrestling match, you were opening yourself up to the style of wrestling. And the same thing, if you're in a Beis Medrash that's a little bit more contentious, then by attending, you're opening yourself up. If someone disagrees with you, to him saying, what you're saying doesn't make any sense, instead of something far more diplomatic. In any case, the Zayas is representative of these two, with the recommendation, like Eretz Yisrael. Just to throw out another concept, there is a discussion in Perek Shira as to why the Zayas is missing. The other Shiva Saminim are all present: Chita, Saora, Geffen, Te'ena, Tamar, Rimon, but the Zayas is missing. And the question is why? And we could consider the possibility that Zayas would have been in or was in and had a certain pasuk, which was this contrast between the Talmid Chacham of Bavel and the Talmid Chacham of Eretz Yisrael, and for some reason, perhaps there wasn't consensus or something to keep it in, but that the pasuk for Zayas, even though many psukim are suggested, but the pasuk for Zayas would have been this pasuk that was taken to be a contrast between the two schools of thought. Because as we understand it, Perek Shira was authored during this time period, firstly preceding Rabbeinu HaKadosh, because he comments that Perek Shira is a wonderful thing, and that it was authored with the focus of Eretz Yisrael, and there was plenty of cross-pollination, but it was written Eretz Yisrael-focused, as we comment by the Nesher, that the Nesher does not have the Pasuk HaKanfei Nisharim of redemption, but rather Lifkod Kol HaGoyim, to punish the enemy, presumably referring to the Roman occupation. So this is the time period, and these are the two perspectives in Torah study interaction. Of course, not to overreact here, nurturing one another, as well as clashing, so to speak, with one another to refine and undergo peer review. Yasher Koach, thank you for joining.